Couple of housekeeping things. One is a couple of episodes ago, I read some lyrics for that AI group, and it has since come to my attention that that group has cited a certain brown-haired mustachioed dictator as one of the writers of the lyrics.
Oh dear,
so that's my bad for exposing people to that. So don't engage with that any longer. Whoops. I mean, not that we should anyway, but it was like, wow, this is weird. Like, clearly that was a person writing those and then just like putting an AI voice over it, because like the comedy was like too good.
AI is not even really that good at unintentional comedy. It's kind of just bad at everything.
Yeah, no. Another thing is, we're not talking about Bully this episode, because it is, as we mentioned in our Discord, very not fun. The PC edition is very crash heavy. And it's just also a very dated, problematic kind of game. There's some violent language used in the quest text and things like that.
You were describing things to me that I was like, we could maybe have an interesting conversation about this, but I don't think it would be very fun.
No, it wouldn't be fun to talk about, but it's also just like the trifecta of not actually being able to play this game and it not being fun is really bad. It's not like Fallout New Vegas, where it's like, okay, this is crashing every so often, but this is still really fun and there's a lot to talk about that's good. Right. It was bad. So we're going to be talking about a couple different games today and move on with our lives.
I have one more piece of housekeeping.
Okay, cool.
I think everyone should watch the Interview with a Vampire TV series on Netflix. It came out on Netflix a couple weeks ago after being released in 2022. It is extremely good, and I want everyone to watch that show.
Okay, cool. And then you guys can talk about it in our Discord.
You could.
That'd be great.
I need to slot it in somewhere.
I put it in here. Why not? You don't have to apologize. It's your show, too.
Cool. Okay, let's get going.
We hold our breath as we walk past lingering specters of the high school students who died under Taiwanese martial law in detention.
But a storm of buts, and we're going to tell you about how we saved the world.
Class is in session.
Happy back to school season, everyone.
Happy back to school season. We are starting with a history class today in Storm Buds Academy. I am your teacher of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined by my co-teacher of light, Alexander Hambrock. Did you get those papers settled with your university?
I did. I'm now proficient in Calculus 7.
Cool. Well, this is a history class, and we will be teaching the history of the game Detention, which is highly informed by the period of Taiwanese martial law, and is honestly quite fascinating.
Yes, it is. Okay.
This is a fascinating, fascinating video game. Do you want to talk a little bit about who made Detention?
Yes, this is the first game from Red Candle Studios, a studio based out of Taiwan that went on to make a game called Devotion that got pulled from Steam for making fun of Xi Jinping in China, and Nine Souls, the Sekiro-like but you're a little wolf spirit side-scrolling platformer that I'm currently like 3 hours into and pretty much enjoying. Mm. Wide variety of genres these folks do, but their first game was Detention, which is comes out in 2017. Is a side-scrolling horror game with a very striking art style that I think that we'll talk about, and is set, like you said, in the 60s, under the period of martial law by the Kuomintang party in Taiwan, following sort of the period following the Taiwanese government basically being run out of mainland China by the People's Republic of China during the Communist Revolution,
yes,
et cetera, et cetera.
So let's cover some terms.
Yes.
The People's Republic of China is mostly what we know of as China today. Taiwan at the time was going under, the Kuomintang-led regime, but also is the, this is the Republic of China. And anytime you know in global politics when there's a republic and a People's Republic,
some shit went down.
Something bad has happened. Current examples are, I think, like Korea. And then there's the Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo as well that also currently exist. So there's a lot of fascinating history all across the world, and Taiwan and China, of course, are no exception. This period of martial law specifically happened, was ratified in May of 1949 and repealed 2 years before I was born in July of 1987.
Yes, decades-long military dictatorship, basically.
Super long, and there's some big names involved. This game doesn't really focus on the big named people. I mean, there's a director of the school that has a statue and things like that. So there's symbolism of those people in big names. But basically, this game is a microcosm of a school where this dictatorship is happening, and you kind of see the effects of it. Or yeah. this effects of this brutalist martial law regime.
And in particular, it's really focused, I think, on intellectual repression, right? Mm-hmm. A big focus is like banned books, banned book clubs, people being arrested and executed or imprisoned for reading the wrong texts, yes. for sharing the wrong texts with other people, all that stuff. Without even talking about like what the content of those texts are, right? We're not going to put a moral dimension on like, you know, what people were or weren't reading. It's just, it literally was a very heavy-handed attempt to control the ways that people communicated and thought about the world.
Yeah, and one of the most unfun facts I learned about doing a bit of light research on the history of martial law under the Republic of China is that before that period we mentioned before, there was a presidential order as well. I mean, this martial law was declared twice, basically. There was that long period, and there's the period before in 1947 due to what is called the February 28th incident, which I don't know if I've mentioned before, but it is my birthday. So, unfortunately, we probably all have something like that. But I thought I had dodged those things. But this February 28th incident is also called the February 28th Massacre, or more casually referred to as the 228 Massacre. It's an anti-government uprising in Taiwan that was suppressed by the KMT, or the Kuomintang, nationalist government. So this was the Kuomintang, is a kind of a center right to right leaning nationalist and highly capitalist sort of
at the time very militarist right.
Very militarist, yes. Republic. So this game this is a good time to play this game if you are interested in the perspective of people who have lived under such a regime or who have a history with such a regime for us in the year 2024 with an upcoming election at stake,
mm-hmm.
where a yes. lot of similar things are being dangled above us like a nasty rotten carrot on a stick.
Yeah, and like that's not even an exaggeration, right? I mean, like, look, we're probably not 2 years away from like the stuff in this game,
mm-hmm.
but if stuff went bad, we could be 10 years away from it.
For certainly.
Like in places like Florida, you can see them starting to experiment with similar, frankly, very similar patterns of thought and very similar like uses
book
of state force.
And, yeah. These things that we've seen before, history is starting to rhyme a little bit here. So, is there anything else we want to cover? There's so much history, right? It's China we're dealing with, and we are a bunch of Americans.
I don't
want to do a total history podcast. I did want to share some of the things that were interesting. Like, it feels like, though, the experience of playing this game goes hand in hand with having to understand the history to understand some of the deeper of the reason for this game's existence.
I think we've laid some good groundwork here.
Yeah.
And I think like a way to possibly segue into talking about the game itself then is just the incredible texture to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it uses that history and it uses this incredibly striking art style, which is like almost like paper dolls.
Yes.
Like everything is very flat and very sort of like almost like sketchbook style. It's two-dimensional. You're moving a character on a flat plane back and forth in and out of different rooms, encountering different things. And it is a game of some truly incredible images.
Yes, and did we mention this is a horror game?
It's a horror game.
And there's some good scares in here, too. There's, mechanically, it is not too, it's not quite like a Silent Hill or Resident Evil game. It certainly has inspiration from Silent Hill in terms of tone, but it doesn't necessarily have the esoteric level of puzzling that a Silent Hill or a Signalis would have. There's still puzzles in this game, and there are still enemies that you have to tensely hold your breath, you know, for a short undisclosed period of time as they slightly walk past you. There's some forced stealth segments as well, but like they're all that stuff is, I think it dabbles in it just enough, but doesn't go too deep into it so much as to be an actual hurdle towards an actual obstacle, excuse me, to the pacing of the story.
Yeah, no, I think it's not a difficult game at all. I would call this a point-and-click adventure game, but it's a pretty straightforward one, unlike something like The Whispered World. And it's not even really a scary game so much as it is a deeply unsettling game.
It mostly is. There's some good scares. There was the, and they're not just like jump scare, haha, you die, okay, kind of Resident Evil.
There's that puppet in that cage, and when you take
exactly where I was going. Whoa! And the background changes when you realize, oh my god. And one of the lantern spirits that wasn't there before. Oh, the light switch.
How into
remember the light switch?
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, we can't spoil too much of this because I think people should play this game. Yeah. But we're going to talk about a bunch of high level stuff, really like elusively, and you got to imagine how cool it is. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because it's not. It's a 2 to 3 hour playthrough. Mm-hmm. There's you might play through it once or twice, or make a save to play through to get the bad and good endings.
There is a moment in this game mm-hmm. where you pick up an inventory item, and the text description of what the inventory item is very different from what the actual visual representation of the object itself is. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the more striking moments I have had in a video game in a long time. Like, that happened and I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. When you pick that up and it's like,
it's very different. You're like, oh.
It's like, you picked up the reading list and you're like, I don't think that's a reading list.
It's really good. And also, yeah, let's give our listeners the very beginning of this game. You start this game as a student, Wei, who falls asleep in class and wakes up after he loosely sees a man in an instructor in a military uniform talking to his literature teacher. And he falls asleep, and then he wakes up, and a typhoon? Is it a typhoon or monster?
Yeah, typhoon.
Typhoon, okay. Mm-hmm. Coming in, and he's like, it's not supposed to, that's weird because typhoons are out of season, and the bridge is out, and
the river's supposed to be made of blood?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fine. So the mystery sort of begins there. You're like, what is happening here? It teaches you how to kind of hold your breath as spirits go by, and it teaches you some of the pickups and search mechanics and the way there's nothing like, you don't have to like click over every random little thing to find it. There's like interactive little
it's
like question
obvious.
Marks where things can be puzzled and solved. And it's a tense experience, a fascinating experience. Had a lovely, I wouldn't say love. I mean, like, it was an enlightening time. Like, it was, I felt like I learned a lot about a different perspective on history that the U.S. certainly had a hand in at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Though it was, and I vaguely remember getting a light overview on the sides of the conflict in China between the Democratic Republic and the Republic of China. But it certainly wasn't painting the Republic of China in quite a negative light. I definitely remember getting a U.S. history where the Republic of China was sort of painted as the good guy.
Yeah. Oh, there are a lot of U.S. allies who we don't talk about the history of very much.
Yeah. Yeah. It turns out. So really highly recommend playing this game to all of our listeners, basically.
It's 3 hours long, and it never drags. It is just idea after idea after mm-hmm. idea. It is image after image. It is like, you know, story beat after story beat. It is just a succession of really kind of like creative, interesting things that just keep happening.
It just, yes. It's, and the images are striking and cool. The puzzles, some of the puzzles are really like, yeah, they're not hard, but they are neat. They're just neat little things. There's a mirror puzzle that I really liked.
The one with like the portraits got me for a sec.
Oh yeah, that one. Cause mm-hmm. That one I had to go back and
kind of like
a
two step.
There's not
to
too
that
much.
One.
There's not mm-hmm. like. It's also basically no backtracking.
Yes,
really. In this game, unlike something like Silent Hill or Signalis, where because there's not really you're not running into inventory space and resource management.
No, it's like at any given time you have like 4 to 5 locations you can go to, and it's pretty obvious which one of them is
maybe
probably
two
the next
to three
place.
Items to pick up and put down in places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool though. It doesn't waste any time,
and it's I don't know, without talking about the story too much, the emotional
it just does a good, there's a good mix of personal storytelling with our character and the influence of the Republic of China and martial law in Taiwan. Really exceptional kind of gaming experience that I'm really, really glad we pivoted to.
Yes.
And we chose
much
this,
better choice than Bully.
Yeah, for sure. We chose this. It had a couple of votes in our Discord poll. It wasn't the winner of it. We did not announce the winner last week. The winner, of course, was... do you have anything else you want to say before I even... talk about this?
No, I don't think so. I think that
it's a concise game. Yeah, sorry.
It's short. It's not difficult. It's very cool.
Really cool. Really cool game. Pick it up. Check it out. Detention. The winner of our poll was actually Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. Much to my chagrin, because I was like, man, we gotta fork over for this because it's a Nintendo game. But I mean, we wouldn't. It would have been a glaring omission. Had we not done it, and it turns out that most people were interested, and some people had reached out to me afterwards saying that they forgot to vote, but they would have voted for that anyway. So it was pretty much a landslide victory. But to those who were interested in Detention in the Discord, there you go.
Yep, special treat for you.
Special treat for you, and hopefully the rest of you guys are also interested in it as well. Since it was such a quick game, I did end up going out and getting a copy of Pokemon Violet, dibs on Violet, as I said last time, as I said in the Discord, dibs on Violet.
I do not give a shit, I'll play Scarlet.
and I did pick it up, and early impressions, like, yeah, let's say it now so we don't have to say it 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. Runs like shit. Looks like shit, runs like shit. All right, that's it. That's all we're going to say on it. Every other podcast has done it. I'm over it at this point. I knew that because it's a Switch game, whatever.
How should we talk? Are we talking 30 frames a second? Are we talking like 15?
You'll see.
Okay.
but still having a blast, actually. I'm really enjoying myself. I'm relieved to be enjoying myself because I was like, I try not to let people influence me too much, but I've been having a lot of fun talking with Senior Bud Red, who I know played through it. And just like, I'm just having a good old Poke time. We'll talk about that in 2 weeks. But I wanted to let you guys know that I'm going to do my best to actually beat this game.
Oh, I get Tyranitar in my version? Fuck yeah.
I don't even know what I haven't looked. I didn't look anything up about my exclusives or anything. I just knew.
You
that
get
with the
Gligar.
DLC, Don't tell me that. I just said.
Sorry.
What is wrong with you?
Sorry. Wait, sorry. No, I get Gligar. Never mind. I lied. I lied. Ignore me.
I also got the DLC because I obviously wanted to get my son Bellsprout. My child, actually. I got a female Bellsprout. So I did. I did that. I got to the DLC area as quickly as I could. Played as much of that. It looks... honestly, the DLC area is like probably going to be more fun than the main area. I'm really excited. I'm really glad I picked it up. But yeah, now I have my child with me. And then I get to take my child through Violet. Since they killed my child before. That's enough.
Next topic.
Next topic.
Ad
break. We are going to troubleshoot our grandmother's PC, and after we're done with that, and while we're doing that, we will read the ad, and we'll be right back after the break.
We're gonna read some ads.
Are you tired of paying $60, $70, sometimes $325 for a video game?
Boy, am I.
And aren't you tired of the same games being released over and over and over and over and over and over again at increasingly, exponentially exorbitant prices?
God, I have bought Sid Meier's Civilization 2 like 6 times at this point.
Well then, you'll be glad to know that this week's episode of Stormbuds is brought to you by the Oh No Game System. Developed by famous TikTok influencer and host of the Friendwalker podcast, Alan Porkmisty.
Okay. He's an influencer, you said? That's like his stage name or like his Christian name?
That's his given name, Alan Porkmisty.
Okay. Hey, you know, I'm sure it's better in the original German.
This innovative system was funded by the excess donations from his GoFundMe campaign for his emergency hernia operation.
Boy, how much did his GoFundMe raise?
The Oh No is the latest and greatest in micro console gaming. It has all the micro console games you could ever need, and they're all free to try.
What makes it micro?
And my podcast host will now tell you 5 of those micro games.
5 of those micro games?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's just one that's just the WarioWare game where you poke the finger up the nose.
Okay.
There is one where you run around a park and you have to try and kick golf balls away from golfers before they can put them into the hole.
That's a good one.
There is one where you have to chug several liters of soda and you have to balance 2 meters between one is your progress in the soda drinking contest and one is how much you're approaching the danger level where you have to get rushed to the hospital and play a different accounting mini game to manage your medical bills.
Interesting.
There is one where you have to blow glass for the first time. It's a highly accurate glass blowing simulation. Mm-hmm. And it's like no real tutorial. It just kind of throws you in the deep end and asks you to like, it's like a Blown Away tie-in. I think they got the Netflix deal.
One more.
And there's that one where you play tic-tac-toe against a computer. And in doing so, you also teach it a metaphor about the futility of armed conflict.
That one's really touching. All the systems can be used as development kits, too, which means any owners are able to contribute to this ever-growing network of wage-free labor.
How is that transliterated? How do you write that?
My illustrious co-host will now tell you the handles of the top 5 video game developers now.
Oh, geez. Well, we've got stuff in here from Squash Mega.
Mm-hmm.
And we got stuff in here from Charmander 8.
Number 2.
And we've got an exclusive game produced by Derek Yu.
Oh wow! Fantastic.
I think. Oh, Ken Levine also has a game out.
Ken
for
Levine,
this.
Okay.
Ken Levine, sorry. And and the last Will Wright came out of retirement to make a game for this thing.
Fantastic! Wow. So wonderful. Some wonderful mix of exclusive talent for the Oh No console. The Oh No comes with support for your favorite media apps like Spaceship Money and Tovo.io, as well as these 5 exclusive Oh No media apps, if you'd be so kind.
Well, for one, I've heard that going forward, this will be the only device on which you can stream the Criterion Channel.
Okay.
Two, it looks like they're getting all of the soccer broadcasting rights for New Zealand.
Wow.
Three, I think they have a cooking dedicated channel that is all about how to cook in roadside diners in the 70s.
Guy Fieri's back.
Yeah, but this time he's in the 70s, like a period piece thing. But it's also still reality TV. Mm. I'm not clear how that works.
That's 3.
There is one that is just videos of people cleaning video game controllers, lovingly disassembling them and using, like, you know, cotton swabs and alcohol and stuff to get the gunk out of the controller bits.
Satisfying.
And I think they have QVC.
Perfect. Who doesn't need a little bit of jewelry to go with their Oh No? For just one easy payment of 600 Great British Pounds, you too can have a gaming experience powered by 1 gigabyte of RAM and 8 gigabytes of internal flash memory.
Wait, is this thing PAL encoded? Do I need to freaking get a converter?
Sign up for your Oh No at www.ohhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhh Chinaco.com and enter promo code. God, now I have to say that all over again. Sign up for your at www.ohhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhh up for your at www.ohhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhhh H H H H H H H H R M B U U U U U U U U U U D S for one great British pound off of your oh no console to death. Fuck, I've decided again. So-
I don't think you do.
Oh, we're back.
So it turns out,
wanted to get into Linux.
All of those freeware and shareware games I downloaded on my grandmother's PC when I was like 11 years old.
Oh,
they all had viruses.
How did you get freeware and shareware games onto your Linux? Are you? Oh wait, we did our separate. Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying that
it was your grandmother. It was on Linux.
Yeah. And then we booted up my grandmother's PC and it was like Jurassic Park in there. The viruses have just been running rampant for like 20 years.
That's like a little ant farm.
Like, basically.
Kind of that XKCD comic from way back when.
Yeah, but like some of them were like messaging me and asking me not to delete them, which was disturbing. So I just nuked the whole hard drive.
Yeah, no, I tried to teach her shell commands. It was, that was a rough one. She could barely speak English. It's actually not true. Yeah, I was fine. I don't know. I don't know why I made that joke.
Okay, we're going to start with CD here.
Yeah.
And then tilde, and then forward slash.
She's already asleep. Poor thing. She's super diabetic and did not give a shit.
At least it runs Linux now, right?
Yeah. I just did it for her.
So much easier now that you have Flatpak.
Absolutely. I completely agree. We are going to now... We're going to pivot into our long play half of this episode of Star Buds, where we're going to talk about a different kind of military dictatorship.
We sure are.
Instead of through force and knowledge erasure, pure magic, sorcery, and enchantment. In Final Fantasy VIII, we're going to talk about the second half of Disc 1. Final Fantasy VIII with a little bit extra because we needed to.
I wanted to balance it out a bit, and yeah. I wanted to talk about that flashback.
Yeah, there was
or whatever that is.
It's like a good. It's a kind of whatever. We get a little extra. You're getting a little extra. So if you're playing along at home, and you don't know what happens after disc one, just I don't know, man. You'll be fine.
Don't ever say we don't give you your money's worth.
That's true. So we ended off after the TV station. We regroup at the TV station, and Seed Protocol dictates that we head to the nearest garden, which is Galbadia Garden on the other side of the continent, and we are able to we get a train ticket hookup from the Indigestion Man, who is disguised perfectly as an old man to escape the soldiers in town, and we take a train off to Galbadia Garden.
Before I did that, though, I ran around a bunch and got those card abilities you were talking about.
Hell
and
yeah.
Got really good at Triple Triad.
Yes, good. Important. Very important.
It sure does help.
Really? Triple Triad, essential to success in saving the world.
And also just having fun, like, breaking the experience curve by just basically carding my way out of every fight when possible so that I gain more, GF points than I do experience points.
Yes, it's great. It's wonderful, and then you get some ridiculously powerful magic from certain cards. Be sure to refine as many cards as you can that aren't in your deck, because you'll... As soon as you get to Galbadia Garden, the random rule starts coming into effect.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So you really don't want your shitty cards to be picked at random. So refine them. Anyway, at Galbadia Garden, we are directed to a waiting room.
And oh, wait, before we get there, we have a flat. We have a.
Oh, yeah, no.
We got a Laguna sequence.
Yeah, we got another Laguna sequence. Yes.
We get them just
right in the middle of the forest.
In the woods.
Right, cool. We pass out. Well, three of us pass out. Who is it that passes out? Squall, not Quistis this time. It's Squall, Zell, and Selfie, I think.
Yeah.
Quistis is just like, oh, what the fuck? Or was it Quistis? No.
Whatever happens, it's not all of us, and it's not the same people as before, which raises questions about what
the heck. Oh, so it couldn't have been Zell and Selfie. It had to have been Quistis. I think Selfie was awake. No, it was Zell. Fuck, I've already forgotten because I played it a while ago. I should have taken notes.
Well, what happens here is Laguna and Pals appear to just be still running around in the woods at random, basically.
Well, they're on a mission. They're on a mission to infiltrate this whatever the hell this is. They run into a structure with some crystals coming out of it.
Yep.
And they seem to be in conflict with Esthar, a different nation. So they're not in conflict with Timber this time. They're in conflict with the Esthar army. And the Esthar army is covered in weird crystal, like weird pearl colored suits with like alien heads.
Yeah.
And bug eyes. They're freaking weird looking.
It's pretty strange.
Pretty strange. We end up in this completely crystalline tunnel maze.
Where we do this weird puzzle with these hatches, and Laguna keeps picking up keys and immediately dropping them.
It's fucking great. It's a great puzzle. Hatches and boulders everywhere. The puzzle itself doesn't matter quite as much as, you know, just having fun. You can't card these things, so
yep,
just run away, obviously. Until you get to the top of this crystalline structure where there's a dead end, basically a dead end. I mean, there's a really steep cliff.
And some boats below.
And we get into a story battle where we have to fend off a lot of Estharian soldiers. And your party is pretty badly, grievously injured. And in a desperate move, they kind of all faint. But Laguna, with the last of his strength, throws Kairos and Ward off of the, I don't know, 20-story cliff into the ocean where they see some Galbadian boats below. And then slips down himself after trying to carefully climb down. And that's pretty much the end of that flashback.
It's great. I'm on board with these now. I'm having more fun with them.
That's great. It's a good time. Wonder what the significance of all that is. We wake up back in the forest. Yeah, that had to have been Quistis's first experience with that. Because she was like, what the hell? And the squall's like, God, this doofus again. What do you mean again? So they catch her and Renoa up on that shit.
I had a well, you know what? I'm going to save it till the end. I had a theory of what was happening here, and now I am completely unconvinced it's accurate. So we'll talk more about that with the next flashback at the end here.
Yeah.
So we get to this other garden, mm-hmm. and here's a question that I would like to ask.
Yes.
How are the gardens organized? Are they part of some kind of like larger organization? Do they like all work together? Like, are they a political entity? What are the gardens?
The gardens are for breeding seeds.
And all the gardens breed seeds?
I believe. No. No? Yes?
Some of them are just mercenary company. This one, even more than ours. Ours kind of looks like a training academy. This one's just a high school. There's like basketball courts.
Yeah, there's like there's a hockey rink that we're not allowed in. Basketball courts and stuff. I mean, and ours had a cafeteria.
I suppose so. But like, the music here is very sinister and everything is very quiet.
Sinister is not, I mean, it's definitely, it's got that sexy bass that this game has everywhere. And it has some of those like Yamaha chords of like, ooh, like in the choir ooze, the choir ooh MIDI effect, in some pretty minor and diminished chord progressions that are happening all around. It's definitely like kind of playing it cool, kind of a little bit like Jets in a way, but not quite so Broadway.
Sure.
That's how I see it. It's not necessarily
it definitely like, yeah. It's like the rival high school across town is how it feels.
Kind of, it does feel like that. Yeah.
It's like fucking Bradford.
Anyway, we are directed up to the waiting room on the second floor, and we're going to await further instructions from the director of Galbadia Garden. I think in the meantime, Squall has a complete nervous breakdown.
He does, yeah, because we hear that like Cypher is basically taking the fall for the whole presidential plot.
Oh yeah,
and everyone's like, he's already been executed, and Rinoa is taking that really hard because she was kind of into him, and then Squall is like,
Squall admits that he also liked the guy and he didn't deserve the, like, yeah, he was kind of an asshole, but he liked him and he was headstrong and he believed in things.
And also Squall's kind of like, wait, if Cypher's dead, that means that like I could also die. I have mortality. Ah! And he runs out of the room.
He runs out of the room and he says the best line so far. I won't have anyone talking about me in the past tense.
Yes.
Like, you know, Squall, sometimes that's necessary. But you know, I want to respect your I want to respect your boundaries. Is Plu Perfect okay? Can we use maybe present perfect? Progressive past, is that cool too? Like which past tenses are, you know, that's not, it's that's pretty vague language requirement. Whatever.
We run into Fujin and Raijin, and they ended up out here because all the trains aren't running, and I love their attitude. They're like, Cypher wouldn't put up with being executed.
Yeah. They're like, fuck that. He's fine.
Anyway, we finally get to meet the headmaster, and he's like, we've been considering the situation as well, and we agree the sorceress is bad news and the Galbadians are bent on world domination, so it's up to you to stop them. Here are your orders. We're sending you a sniper. The goal is to assassinate her.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, let's not waste any time, I suppose. And the sniper we meet out front is none other than the wonderful Irvine Kineas.
Can I read you my next three bullet points in order?
Yes, you may.
Bullet point one. Whoa, this guy is cool. Bullet point two. Okay, not into how he's immediately hitting on Selfie, though. Bullet point three. I take it back. This guy sucks ass.
Let me tell you right now. Irvine's my absolute favorite.
Really?
I know you're going to come around on him. I know you are. Something shit's going to happen.
The womanizing thing is just, it's so 1999 in a way that...
It's weird as fuck, and it gets weirder.
Okay. You're doing a great job selling me on this guy.
It's so... the context of it, it's so weird. Oh, but I love this guy. It's just, oh man, Irvine rules. And he is... But yeah, he's a root tootin' shooting cowboy. He's got a shotgun as a weapon. He has ammo for his limit break. And he is a total creep.
Uh-huh.
And but it's, you know, he's 17, weren't we all?
Anyway, 17?
They're all 17. What? Or 18. I think Quistis might be like a little bit older.
Dude's a rough 17, okay? Looks like he's like 25.
He dresses like he's 25. That's for sure.
Anyway, so we're off to the Galbadian capital?
Yeah, we're off to Dealing City now. The train lines are... The train line from the garden to the city is cleaned up. And we meet up with the general of the army, I guess, who's totally on board with this.
Who's Renoa's father?
Yes.
And
General Caraway.
Who won't let us in until we go do a side quest at a local tomb.
Yeah, so we have to... He's like, you have to prove your worth. And in order to do that, you have to go up to the northeast corner of the map where there's the only thing ever anywhere.
We're here with your daughter. Can we come in? No. Okay.
No. Well, well, that's, if anything, that is a deterrent for him. So we head up to, we take some time to explore Dealing City, probably do some shopping if you want. Music slaps.
Music is great here.
Anyway, we
Big
head
City,
up to,
very confusing.
Very, very confusing, but it has a nice little bus system that you can get on.
I love the bus system. I love how they just kind of like bounce up and down like they have no suspension.
We head up to the tomb. Is it the tomb of the unknown soldier? No, that's real life.
It's the tomb that's of real? The unknown king.
Unknown king, that's right. No, the unknown soldier is the one in real life.
So like, you just need to get the number off the sword. I did do the whole thing. I fought the brothers.
Good.
Like,
yes, important. It's a good GF because the junction HP, and that boss battle's really funny.
It's great. Their animation is so good.
Yeah. The whole bait and switch of like, I'm gonna go get my big brother, and the big brother is just like of the same model of him but half the size. There's a student that runs out scared. She's like, float, cast float. so that you dodge the earthquake attack they do. And yeah, you get the Brothers GF. It's a fun little puzzle. We head back into town with the GF and the code, and we meet General Carraway.
And this bit, we're like, I don't quite know what I expected.
Well, but he locks Renoa away. He's like, I'm not having my daughter try to assassinate this shit.
I did not expect the plan to literally be, okay,
oh, God,
go up
the
in
plan.
The clock tower oh, God, with plan. A sniper rifle, and then you're going to drop a gate around this lady and just shoot her with the gun. I was like, oh, you mean we're going to assassinate her? Like yeah. they did to Kennedy.
What? Or like... or kind of, yeah. No, it's kind of unfortunate. Whatever. That's not even the weirdest part to me.
No.
The weirdest part is yet to happen.
Plan.
So yeah, he locks Renoa away and takes us to just the general of the army takes us to an open street.
I love how he's leading us around. Like, now you'll go here for this part of the assassination.
So yeah,
plan,
he takes us to the front. He takes us like to the front of the White House, basically the gate there. Is like, and the okay, so there's going to be a float with the sorcerer on it, and it's going to come out and turn to the left like this, and then he starts full sprinting down the street without us. And the camera pans over to him as we're just kind of watching from a distance. He's like, and then the float's going to go down this street this way. And then he starts running the other direction. And we're just kind of standing there looking at him.
You couldn't have a diagram?
Obviously mapping out the entire thing. And this doesn't matter at all. It's the best part. Okay, you're going to have to come in at exactly... You guys will be in the clock tower, and you'll have to drop the gate at exactly 2,000 hours, or what is it called? 2,000 hours? I don't know how they say it in military time. Whatever. Shut up. 2,000 hours.
Also, who knows how many days there are in this world?
it's just the exacting specificity of this plan and how it gets outlined and how all of it just immediately like ends up going to shit is so funny to me. It's like the ultimate punchline because it spends so much time going over all the specifics. And what happens is...
Why does it go to shit? Why does it go to shit, Jerome?
The specifics of the plan. Okay, the parade starts. Squall's team gets into place out in front of the White House. And before they break out, Renoa and the clock tower team's hanging out in the house, right? Renoa breaks out of the room and she's like, hey, actually, I have my own cool plan. You want to hear it? And Quistis is like, no, we have a different plan. Well, and then Renoa says, let's get going. Just wait. Renoa says, well, I've got this cool fucking bracelet that I want to just walk up to the sorceress with in the White House after I sneak into the White House. And we're going to give her this bracelet from Odin Laboratories and it's going to make her not be a sorceress anymore. Which, what? Where did this come from?
Yeah,
what the fuck?
I didn't understand any of this.
What the hell? And Quistis had the same reaction. Like, what are you talking about? That's outrageous. You're not just going to do that by yourself. We have a plan already. This is way too long to do this. You're an idiot. Stop it. She like goes the fuck off on her. Maybe way too hard, actually. Quistis has like a total breakdown. And it's like, and Renault's like, Jesus Christ, sorry. And she kind of sits down there. And the Quistis and the tower team, which is Zell and Selfie, run off to the tower. And wait for their turn. But
and then
Quistis gets cold a little bit. It's like... Man, actually, I feel bad. Maybe I was too hard on Renoa. All right, I'm going to go apologize to her, you know, now, 45 minutes before we have to go assassinate the
professor. Go back to the house.
You guys wait here. And Zell and Selfie are like, no, we're not going to do that. Nothing could possibly go wrong with this. So all three of them go back to apologize to Renoa, who, in the meantime, is like, fuck those guys. I'm going to do this myself. And runs out of the house after... General Carraway has set the time, set a timer to lock her in.
It's such
what the fuck? Just lock the door. Why do you have a timer?
It's such Looney Tunes, right? Like Yakety Sax is playing
over
totally this.
It's totally Scooby Doo.
Yeah, there we go. That's it.
Mm-hmm. And then right after Renoa leaves, I guess a separate hallway. I don't know how they didn't cross each other. Quistis and the team, all three of them, walk in to apologize to her. She's not there. The door closes.
Yeah, and they have got a timer lock on the one door, and so they have to get out by unlocking his secret statue door, which you do by putting a wine glass in its hand.
And he has a, yeah, just a bespoke secret passage to the sewers in his house. First off, just break the damn window. Just get, like, fuck this, we have a mission to do. Who cares if General Carraway has to replace a window later or something, or
a
door?
I believe he has that passage because he's like a smart, paranoid man who's ready to, like, you know, get out of town if stuff ever takes a bad turn.
I guess if there's a Final Fantasy game without a mansion with a secret passage into a sewer, I'd like to see it.
But you're right, Quista should have just broken those windows.
Anyway, they take the secret passage with it. They take the Resident Evil passage into the sewer. This sewer puzzle is just one long hallway of a puzzle, but like you can get a draw point with some good magic and some good fights down here, whatever.
It took me way too long to figure out how to consistently be able to jump on the water wheels.
Oh yeah, because the rendering's weird, it like doesn't look like, if you didn't really know that you're supposed to do that, it can kind of look like you're not supposed to jump on the water wheels or anything. Anyway, that sewer passage happens to go right below the gatehouse, thank God. And then they get up there right before the timer happens. Thank goodness, I guess. Thank goodness that conveniently worked out. But what happens while they're doing all that? Renoa is running off, and she runs, somehow gets past the White House gate by herself. Good for you, honestly. Good job. You're a go-getter. She starts to slowly climb up each of the conveniently placed boxes on top of trucks to get up the side of the... It's not actually the White House, but I'm calling it the White House because it's where the president lives.
Presidential palace, I don't know.
It's the dealing palace. Who cares? The calling it the White House is funny. She slowly gets up where the... She runs onto the roof where there's certainly no Secret Service or anything happening, but there sure are a lot of people who are just kind of probably watching this happen and not caring. That's weird, but it's weird, but it all, but that's like the least weird part because it kind of makes sense what's like something. Anyway, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all happening. Renoa successfully gets into the top office, you'd call it, where the sorceress is kind of waiting with her back to the door.
Her preparation chamber
with just marble floors and long white drapes only. Where she's sitting with her back to the door dramatically. And Renault's like, hey, I just think you're really cool. And on behalf of my dad, the general of the army, I would totally like to give you this sweet bracelet. Because we're girls, empowering girls, women, uplifting women with jewelry.
Does that plan work, Jerome?
No, she's like... You're an idiot, and then holds her by the fucking telekinesis. Darth Vader lifts her off the ground by the arm and shakes her violently and throws her on the ground. And she's like, and then she like casts a bewitching spell, which kind of explains what she did to
her
the
deal.
It kind of seems to be your deal. She did that in the TV station, and she seems to have done it to the entirety of Dealing City.
She does, because then she walks out on the balcony and she kills their president in front of them.
Yeah, and they're all like, woo!
And she's like, I rule you now, worms. And they're like, yeah.
They're just dancing in their ceremonial, their Dealing City ceremonial garb. It's like Mardi Gras up in this bitch with their dead president. And Rowan Renoa in tow.
I have a note here that says, I don't think shooting this one with a gun is going to matter.
Well, we try anyway, but not before Squall and Irvine are like, hey, shit, that's Renoa. And then they run into the open gate. And they have to climb the series of boxes and cars at the same way that Renoa did. And hey, did you expect them to be able to get up those boxes and cars faster than Renoa did, like I did?
Nope.
I did. I was like, oh, surely these I've played this game before. Surely these fit senior mercenaries would be able to get up these boxes really fast, right? No.
Climb
it takes
all
so,
the way up.
Exactly the same amount of time. I was like, God damn it. Like, they made such a big deal out of like Renoa struggling to get up these boxes.
And Squall's also just like,
because she's like this helpless,
okay,
apparently, I mean, look, helpless lady, but like the two mercenaries.
The gunblade is heavy. It's both gun and blade, way. Two heavy things in one. It's
so funny. We get up to, the sorceress thing, whatever.
The tower we're supposed to be.
The plaza. And in the meantime, she has summoned two statues to come. The sorceress has summoned two statues to come to life and devour Renoa. We get in there, I guess, just in the nick of time. I don't know. The statues are just kind of looking at her on the ground.
We fight them, and I got Carbuncle.
Okay, Carbuncle is a... don't Google carbuncle. It is a GF in Final Fantasy. I don't know why it's called that, because a real life carbuncle is much grosser.
Okay.
Have you not? Do you not know what that is?
It's a stone of some sort, right?
Or No.
Is this like the fucking like the weird shit you get out of whales or whatever? Like,
possibly. It's bad. Don't Google it. It's
okay. Got
did
it.
You Google it?
It's also a precious stone. I swear to God.
I mean, I think that's what they're going for, but it's also it's
yeah. It's also this.
Oh, okay.
But the other term does come up first.
I see that. Yeah. Okay. I think it's like another name. Is it like another name for a garnet? I don't know. Anyway, it's a cute little thing, and it casts reflect on your party, and the summon is it's pretty useless because that means you can't use curing magic on yourself.
I will say, I used it during the fight with the sorceress, and it actually worked pretty okay there, because she had to dispel it.
Yeah, it's... Well, she can't dispel it? I thought she could.
No, she could, but she uses turns doing it. Like, she ends up, like, burning her actions.
I mean, I just have 4,000 HP on all my characters at this point.
Wait, so what... We'll talk later. Okay, I gotta know some of the spells I should be going for.
Regen.
I gotta figure out how to get... Okay.
Yeah, if you get regen from a Mesmer card, or a Mesmerize card... that you refine into life magic from Siren. Did you get Siren?
I did not get Siren.
That's the best one.
That's the problem.
I told you to draw. There's one. It's you get Siren from Dalit.
Yep.
Hopefully there's another GF where you can get life magic. Can you get Siren? Maybe in the remaster you can get Siren somehow later.
I've seen you can also get her in the final dungeon. So great. It'll be good then.
No, it won't. There's got to be some other way to refine life magic. Well, that's going to be rough for you. Anyway, so I was just like, well, your sorceress magic does basically nothing to me. I'm just going to sit here and draw all this powerful magic off of you forever until, yes. But basically, that fight's later because we rescue Renoa and then we get in position. The gate drops, the carousel rises, we get the rifle, and Irvine gets cold feet.
Have we said that Cypher is also on the float?
Oh, yeah, Cypher's on the float as well. Whoops!
We're like, whoa!
We forgot to do that. Yeah, a lot happens in that sequence of dancing. But yes, they show that Cypher's on the float, and as we run past to get into the White House, Squall's like, oh, Fujin and Raijin were right. He didn't put up with being executed. He's, in fact, Idia's personal guard. Interesting.
Interesting.
Interesting choice.
Interesting what's going on with Cypher here.
So, yes, we get in position... And Irvine gets cold feet. He's like, I can't do it. I always choke in the loneliness. I hate this.
He's like, I'm actually a terrible sniper.
I'm a child. They're making me assassinate this. This sucks. This sucks. I can't do it. And Squall's like, listen, it's just like, this is good leadership, honestly. In my opinion, he's like, hey, it's just a signal, you know, just fire the shot, do your best, and then we'll go in and take care of it. Like, I really liked this moment between Squall and Irvine. Yeah. It was like, just like, don't think of it as like everything's riding on you. You know, this is just one step in the process. You know, we have a plan. Just fire the signal. And he fires the signal. He shoots the shot. Of course, the sorceress blocks it with her protect magic.
Her big magic barrier.
And Squall says, all right, it's go time. And he... jumps off the White House into a car.
It's cool.
And then he swerves the car, just like running people over. We're like, whatever. And crashes into the closed gate, dashes out and climbs up the sorceress float to face off with Cypher directly. And I don't know about you, but my Squall makes short work of him.
Yeah, no, same. Like, here's the thing. I don't have 4,000 HP, but I do have like 2,600. Like,
that's great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's good enough. And yeah, it's not hard to beat these guys, beat them up. But you know, Cypher's like, damn it, I'm living my dream, and I'm still not good enough to beat you. This sucks. He's like, what the hell's your dream? Anyway, we face off against the sorceress, Renoa and Irvine catch up to us. Thank goodness. And we face off against her. We talk about her spell. She uses Thundaga and Blizzaga, the highest level of elemental magic on us. It does around 400 HP. Having Carbuncle is helpful. So is being way too tanky.
I also, like, this also was not difficult. Like,
yeah, because you can also just draw Cure Magic off of her.
Yeah.
Any fight you could draw Cure Magic off of, it's not usually not that bad unless there's a gimmick of some kind. Anyway, at the end of this fight, what happens? Idea uses her limit break. And she shoves a bunch of icicles. She summons a bunch of icicles in the air and beats the shit out of us with them and stabs Squall right through the shoulder. And he goes unconscious from the wound of the icicle, right?
Possibly. It's unclear.
It's unclear what happens here.
I love to win in the gameplay and then lose the fight in the cutscene.
Well, she was like, oh shit, I'm low HP. I better do my limit break.
That's true. You know, I'm kind of joking here. This one didn't bug me that much, mostly because
this game's batshit. Mm-hmm. This game is just off the wall. It kind of makes sense, but like, yeah, we'll write it off that way. Squall gets taken out. And then we have the end of disc one.
End of disc one.
But we want to keep going.
Let's talk about this Laguna flashback.
Because we get an immediate Laguna flashback that is, I think, really important to talk about.
Raises some of the first really big questions I have had in this game.
So Laguna is up in his home and he is talking to...
Before we get there.
Because
structurally, I have been kind of assuming that these are, as we called them, flashbacks.
No, dream sequences, right?
Yeah, they call them dream sequences. In my head, though, I'm like, oh, is the twist here that, like, Laguna is actually Squall from the past, but he had his memories erased, or that Laguna's soul was harvested and implanted into Squall's body? Or, like, I've been imagining there is some sort of, like, you know, time-based thing going on where, like, Squall is getting, like, repressed memories or something, right?
Mm.
Going into this, that is my assumption of what is happening here.
Yeah.
Now, Laguna is in this small town.
Well, yeah, and then he meets a little girl comes up the stairs and calls him uncle and says that I think, Rain is looking for him or something. Oh, no, there's a man in town looking for him. And he's dressed funny. And Laguna's like, you ran out from the pub here by yourself? What if monsters got you? Right? Because they are in a monster-infested town.
It's so funny.
It's kind of sad.
You're running around the town square, and the monsters are attacking you, and the soldiers are just standing on the sidelines.
And the girl, whose name we learn is Elone, is whatever, kind of obstinate, but like it seems like these two have a really good relationship.
Yes.
And that's great.
He's Laguna her cool uncle.
Heads down his completely bullet-ridden home. into
real like France after World War II vibes.
Yeah, into the nearby pub where he meets up with the pub owner Rain, who is hosting Laguna's good friend Kairos, who catches Laguna up on the past 6 months of Laguna's absence, because Laguna, it turns out, was unconscious and nursed to health and found somehow and nursed to health by this woman Rain, who is a villager of this town.
Yes, and so he's hanging out in this town, kind of doing odd jobs, protecting the town, etc.
And Laguna and Ward were actually picked up by the boats, and Laguna was not. So they got separated after the fall.
Yes. A little bit of world-building stuff we pick up on here.
Yes.
People are still worried about the Estar soldiers, because even though it's been 2 years since like actual hostilities, you never know what a country ruled by a sorceress will do, and apparently it is ruled by the sorceress Adele. So we're definitely like some kind of time displacement here. This does not appear to current events.
Hello from the other time.
Exactly.
I've been waiting for that one. We're gonna get content ID'd because I'm too perfect. The other thing we learn is, where the hell am I? And then Laguna says, uh-oh.
Yeah.
The fairies are back.
This is the first great bit, right? Where like it becomes apparent that like Laguna seems to be aware of like Squall's presence in his head, because occasionally it seems like voices in his mind either like ask questions of him, or occasionally like push him around and make him go the wrong way,
or think things that he would otherwise not think or be out of character.
He's yes, like, so like Laguna appears to be aware that someone else's mind is in his mind.
He's also aware that that person's mind makes him a lot stronger, because Kairos says, oh, well, I guess patrol will be a lot easier today. Like, that's true. So they're kind of aware of this phenomenon just as much as we are aware that we're in this dream sequence. So this is something very weird is happening. And we also learn about the fate of Julia in Laguna's absence. Now, this is where I have to issue a minor errata. I believe the last episode I said that Julia's last name was Caraway. That was not true at that time because she had not married.
Now.
It is now because she married a general of the Galbadian army who comforted her in Laguna's absence. General Caraway. So we learned that Julia is possibly Ivanova's mother. You know.
Yeah, we're not clear.
We're not clear, but certainly... There is certainly, we're certainly in the same universe and relatively similar timelines, if that's the same General Caraway. Unless it's like a fucking weird family lineage of military leadership, which, who knows?
Anyway, stuff we do here, we run around town with Kairos a bit doing a patrol, which is just like telling about stuff. We learn about Rain, the very nice lady who nursed Laguna back to health, who is very tsundere for him and wishes that he would stay with them, but is also worried that he's always going to want to gallivant around the cities of the world. He's like a big city guy. She's a small town gal. Could it ever happen?
And as we're doing the patrol, we run into an old lady who sweetly suggests we get the heck out of here. And then we run into the shopkeeper who says, get the heck out of here. Much less sweetly. But we are able to buy some items from him if we so choose. But yes, we eavesdrop on a conversation between Rain and Alone. What am I talking about? Obviously, like, I don't know why I made that joke about the lineage. Obviously, these two times are very close to each other. Because Alone is right there. So there's something going on here. Anyway, we eavesdrop on that conversation where Rain vents her frustrations about Laguna and what she wants and what he wants, and then Laguna pops up from behind after he gets caught.
And
he gives his report, and depends on how many monsters you kill. You killed / carded. I got 17, I think. I didn't do too much. I think
24. I don't know.
Yeah, I think. Well, you did much better than me. I didn't really spend too much time doing it. And is there anything else that happens after this report?
I mean, well, because here's the thing. Then Laguna goes to take a nap. And this is where I sat up in my seat. Because he admitted sometimes he's scared to go to sleep because when he wakes up, he doesn't know where he is and he doesn't see any of the people that he loves around him. It seems like Squall isn't just having dream sequences of Laguna's life.
Laguna's also having dream sequences of Squall.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? It is so cool that this connection is bi-directional. What is happening?
This shit's awesome. I love these sequences. It's wild.
I don't know what to make of this.
It's an absolutely fascinating way to tell this story. But yes, that is where we're going to leave off today with that revelation that it is kind of a two-way street. And we are going to, next episode, talk about the general first half. Final Fantasy VIII. Let's actually codify these chapters because you're taking some time for vacation. So you're going to actually play probably the entirity of Disc 2.
Yeah, almost certainly. I'm already like halfway through it.
And again, I'm really glad we chose this for a long play because we were able to sort of dealing city. So we did the Laguna Dream 3. Let's see, we're going to probably play up until I think we are going to push it a little bit. We are probably going to have to go up until, you know what, no, let's stick with we're going to play until after, well, like the Fisherman's Horizon.
Okay.
So that's going to be that, and then the week after we'll finish off Disc 2. We might do a little bit of Disc 3 as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably Fisherman's Horizon, and then we'll play the week after that, we'll play the rest of Disc 2 and a couple of chapters of Disc 3, and then the final week we'll cover the kind of very end game. Okay, of that. I mean, and then that's gonna be, remember, we have to do a little bit extra for that episode because it's the whole episode.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's gonna be a lot of fun for us. Thank you so much for listening to this wild and wacky episode of Stormbuds. We went a whole bunch of different directions. Hopefully you had fun learning about martial law in Taiwan a little bit.
Play Detention, it's really good.
Play Detention, it's good. Play Final Fantasy VIII, it's also good. And You can join our social media / Discords in the link in the description of the episode. If you've been enjoying our coverage of these games, feel free to tell your friends and folks about this by way of rating and reviewing and sharing our podcast on your platforms and social medias of choice. We are also really interested to see if you guys are playing along with us. We will have a Charlian forum on, which is, of course, our kind of user review segment on the episode of the 29th of September. So we'll have a thread up for that probably within the next week or two. So be in the Discord so that you can participate in that as well. And even if you played it a long time ago and have fond or not so fond memories of it, we would love to hear from you. That's going to, I guess, do it then for the rest of the week. We will see you next week when we are going to talk about Nancy Drew Warnings at Waverly Academy.
Yeah! Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Nice and light, you know?
Yeah, something nice and light because this... These games are heavy. The two games we played this week are heavy in very different ways. Very rich storytelling in both games. And I cannot wait for a bit of stupidity with Nancy Drew. All right. That's enough rambling. Thank you so much for listening. Class is dismissed. I have been your teacher of light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I was joined by our co-student teacher of light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodbye to the students.
It's mac and cheese in the cafeteria today.
Fantastic.
Night.
Fuck, I have to say it again. So
I don't think you do.
That's the end.
No. Great. I'm going to buy one.
No, that's it. No, don't think you do.
Okay. I get to pull that same trick now.
Of course you do.
Not next episode, maybe, but I'm going to keep it in the pocket. You're not going to know when it's coming.
What's the most obnoxious way to make an ad? Oh, God. Everyone's going to hate that. Or they'll love it.
It's great.